In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to share a health headline that was shared with me recently that I found extremely helpful and insightful. And as I look around this room, see, this health headline really applies to me and helps me understand a lot of what's going on in my life. And as I look around this room, I am certain that at least half of you in this room are in the same boat with me, maybe even more than half. And so this is the health headline. The article's good too, but all you really need is the headline. It goes like this. Doctor breaks bad news that everything you're experiencing is normal. You're just 40. I'm 42, so I understand what this is saying here. I have a little app on my phone and notes with a list of things to ask the doctor about the next time. Reminders. Next time I see him, this is what I need to ask him about. What's wrong with my ear? What's wrong with my toe? What's wrong with my back? And the list just keeps getting longer and longer. When I was in my 20s, I did not have a list like that. But I now have a list like that. But thankfully, everything is normal. It's just the way it is. I'm just 42 in my case. And so, I love it's a satire article, by the way. That's not a real headline, although it's pretty accurate. It's fun to joke around and to think about as we get older, some of the new aches and pains that start to come, and just the funny things that go along with that. At the same time, for those of you that are, at least in my boat and beyond, you know that there is a bit of a sorrow to that too. You know, I'm never going to dunk a basketball again without a trampoline, and that makes me sad. I used to skateboard, and I would fall down and just pop right back up. Now, if I skateboard and I fall down, I'm just going to lay there for about 5 minutes thinking about how bad it hurts. And I hear that it just starts to get worse and worse with each decade. So there is a sorrow to that. And beyond that, you know, as we get older and older, we understand, you know, we come here as Anglicans on Lent, and we're reminded, you know, to ashes you are, and to ashes you will return. We know that day is coming. We've seen it happen to others. We are experiencing it as we age, and it does bring us sorrow. You know, we would, if we could have it our way, we would stay about, our body at least would be about 25 till Christ comes back, and that would be just great. But we see this reality, we experience it, we see it in people we love, and it is hard. It is something that that weighs on our heart. And the reason I mention it today is because we're looking at the book of Ruth together today. And it's one of the things that Ruth mentions here in this first chapter. Maybe you heard it. She talks about one of the sorrows in her life at the moment is getting older. But this is just one, or not in Ruth. I'm going to probably mess this up several times because the book is Ruth, but Naomi is kind of the main person we're going to talk about. It's Naomi who's talking about getting older. But her life, as we see here in this first chapter, it is just devastation. It's not just age, it's everything is going wrong. She's from Bethlehem, which means the name of Bethlehem is house of bread or nourishment. And the place is experiencing famine. The house of bread is experiencing famine. And so she and her family, they pack up and go to a foreign land of the Moabites, and the Moabites are not on good terms with the Israelites, and they're not on good terms with God. They have been enemies of God's people and of God. But they go there to try to survive, to make it in this land of the Moabites. And they get there, they're there for a while, trying to, you know, get their life together, make things work. And then as we see, her husband, Elimelech, dies. But she still has two sons. Unfortunately, more tragedy hits, and both of those sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they both die as well. And that means total devastation for Naomi. She's in a foreign land of people that are not exactly on good terms with her people. She's in this ancient culture where you needed the family structure. There's no government office to go to and get some help when you're in this type of situation. The dependency is upon family and having a husband or sons who can go out and bring in food and harvest and provide. It's essential. And if they're not there, then you're going to be totally dependent upon the kindness of others. And unfortunately, we're in the time of the judges, which you can see right before this ends with these words. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we see that throughout the whole book of Judges, that people are not, God's people are not doing a great job of doing what God would have them do, caring for widows and for orphans, people like Naomi. And so here she is in a total mess. She looks around and she sees the state she's in. She says, "The Lord has gone out against me." On top of that, she has these two daughter-in-laws. No sons have been born to them. But she has these two daughter-in-laws that she clearly loves and who clearly loves her. This is not one of those, apparently not one of those relationships that we joke about with in-laws where they're not getting along. These three seem to really love each other. Tears are shed because Naomi realizes, God's hand is against me. I have nothing going for me. I am in a total state of desperation. I am in so much trouble. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem because now there is food starting to return to Bethlehem. And it's starting to get worse in Moab. So she's going to go back to where she came from. But she's realizing, how am I going to provide for these two daughters? I can't take care of them. I have nothing to offer them. And on top of that, that's when she realizes also, I've gotten older in these years. I don't think I'm going to get married again. And I don't think, even if I did, even if I had a kid today, she tells her two daughters-in-law. And again, this is another thing that's different for our culture. Often, close relative, like a brother, if brother's spouse dies, he might marry her and be able to redeem her, the land. It's weird to us, but not weird in this culture. And so she's saying to Orpah, her daughter-in-law, and Ruth, her other daughter-in-law, if I had a baby today, by the time they grew up and you could marry them, you're going to be older women too. You're not going to wait that long. Why would you come back with me to Israel where we don't necessarily trust you or like you there. You might be treated poorly. I have nothing. Our land was sold when we moved. I have nothing to go back to. It's just where I'm from. So I'm going to go there, but I can't take care of you. And you don't want to go with me because the Lord's hand is against me. But she says in tears as they realize this, she says, but you have been so kind to me. And the word that she uses there about this kindness that Ruth and Orpah showed her and to her deceased husband and deceased sons is this Hebrew word you've probably heard before if you've been in the church a while, hesed. This loving, faithful kindness is the kind of thing that God shows to his people over and over again. And Ruth and Orpah have shown that to Naomi. And she recognized that. And so even though she believes God's hand is against her, Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, go back to your mothers, go back to your household. May the Lord bless you. May he be kind to you as you've been kind to me. May he provide you with a new husband and a family. And just may he be with you because Ruth and Orpah, he's not with me. His hand is against me. And I'm going back alone. Orpah finally gives in. She goes back. If she just went back, we could just move on, totally understanding. But sadly, the verse says she goes back not just to her people, but to her gods. We're not told exactly what she knew, how she learned what her relationship with the Lord was, but it's still a sad verse, a sad hint there that we see that she goes back not just to her people, but to her gods. But Ruth, on the other hand, puts her foot down and says, I will not go back, and I would rather die than go back, because I love you, Naomi. It says that again, that Ruth shows this hesed, this loving, faithful kindness to her mother-in-law. And not only to her mother-in-law, she says, she makes this famous declaration that I don't care if I'm a Moabite. I don't care if life's going to be hard. I love you. I'm going to care for you, because it seems that she knows something about Naomi's God. And it seems that she's having more confidence in Naomi's God than even Naomi is at this point. Because she says, your God is my God. And your people are my people. And I am going with you. And Naomi, it says, the text says that she realizes that Ruth has strengthened herself. In other words, she said, doesn't matter what else you say, I'm going. So Ruth gives in, and she returns back to Bethlehem. They get back into the city, and the people are talking. It's been a long time since they've seen Naomi, and we get this famous line where they say, isn't that Naomi? And Naomi says, no, I am not Naomi. Naomi means something like sweet or pleasant. And she says, don't call me that. Don't call me that ever again, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. I went out empty. I went out full and came back empty. The Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me. So don't call me sweet or pleasant. Call me bitter, because that's where my life is at. So we can understand that. We can look at this passage, we can see what's happened to Naomi, and we can certainly experience why she would feel that way. I suspect some of us, maybe many of us in this room, have felt that way at times in our own lives. Here's the thing. It's easy to stand away from Naomi and look back. Also, if you know the rest of how this works out, it's easy to see what God is doing. Even in this one chapter, if all we see right here, we start to see the hints of what God's doing. But it's not our tragedy. It's not our devastation. So it's easier to look and say, wait a second, Naomi, don't you see these other things that are happening, these little hints that are happening? You say you're empty, but look, you have this daughter-in-law who, even though you tried to get her to go back, she said, no way. She loves you. She really loves you. And she's going to care for you and provide for you. She's risking her life for you. Bethlehem has food again. That's something. Maybe not a lot, but it's something. Of course, that's the kind of things that when someone is in a great tragedy, you make yourself like the friends of Job in the book of Job and say, just cheer up. No, we can let Naomi be upset. She's going through a really, really hard time. And when we are through those, we're just like her. We know we're supposed to always look and see what God is doing and trusting that He's going to be working in our lives through tragedies and through these devastations. But when it happens to us, it's really hard to see anything good. It's hard to see any loving friend or person or family member beside us that's comforting us and caring for us. It's hard to see any possible good thing that might come down the road. And so it's easily understandable. We all have or will experience that type of pain that Naomi experiences. So in the rest of the story, fast forwarding quickly through, for those of you who didn't know it, they return and Ruth is working hard. And it is hard labor for her to provide for her and Naomi. She's out in the fields, hard doing this hard work, gleaning. This was one of the Israelite laws that for the sake of the poor, that food that was dropped in the harvesting had to be left for the poor. And so she's out in these fields trying to gather up enough for her and Naomi to survive. And she comes across eventually to the field of this man named Boaz. And by this time, people have heard about Ruth. They know about this Moabite woman who has come back with her mother-in-law, and Boaz is impressed. It seems that Boaz is, as you read the chapter, you see that Boaz is apparently impressed with her looks, but also he is very impressed with who she is. He sees her hesed and her loving kindness towards her mother-in-law, and he commends it. He sees her out there working so hard in the field, and he wants to, and this is a breath of fresh air, having just finished the book of Judges, where everyone does what's right in their own eyes. We see one person who wants to do something good and kind that God would have them do. He wants to show hesed, loving, faithful kindness, to Naomi through Ruth. And so he says to Ruth, don't go to any other field. There could be trouble for you. There could be danger for you there. I'm going to make sure you get what you need here to survive and more. And I'm going to make sure that no one hurts you. Just stay here and I'll make sure that you're safe here. So Ruth goes home and shares this good news with Naomi, and Naomi finally starting to think, oh, wait a second, maybe there's a little bit of hope here. And she goes on, the kindness continues, and Naomi goes on to encourage Ruth to basically propose to Boaz. Boaz seems to be a little bit not sure that he's good-looking enough, maybe, or something. It doesn't tell us, but Boaz is not quite as confident. He's a little bit older, But Ruth is interested, and Naomi is interested, and Boaz is interested. And Naomi is especially interested, especially catches her attention, because this isn't just any nice guy. This is also, in this culture, what's called a kinsman redeemer, meaning that he has the right to get back that land, that wealth. That's wealth in this culture that Naomi's her deceased husband had sold. And if he gets that back, he doesn't just get it back and hoard it to himself. He gets it back for Naomi. It restores her. She won't be in desperation anymore. She will have her life and her well-being restored to her. So Noemi is excited about this, getting her hopes up. Ruth is very interested. Boaz is interested. And of course, they do finally get married. And when that proposal comes, when Boaz says, I do want to do this, he sends Ruth back to her mother-in-law with this good news, but also with a ton of food, a ton of resources. And he says, you must not go back to your mother-in-law empty. Remember what Ruth said? I went out full, and I came back empty. And Boaz, his kinsman redeemer, says, no. Noemi must not be empty. And this is how the book of Ruth concludes in chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. What a beautiful thing that these women say to Naomi when this child is born. Multiple beautiful things right there. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. What a beautiful ending to this story. Naomi was cared for by God in the midst of tragedy, midst of devastation. Now here's the thing that I suspect many are probably thinking. It doesn't always end with such a beautiful ending. Sometimes even those of us who love and follow the Lord, sometimes the last thing before the resurrection is devastation. It's hard. We don't all get this story. We don't all get a Boaz. What we do get is something that lasts far more than what Boaz could ever give. Something far greater than what Boaz could ever give. If these ladies could look and see the blessing that God was doing in Naomi's life here towards the end and say, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. If they can say that about Boaz, who could only provide some temporary things, Boaz's son, Naomi's son, Ruth's son, Obed, father of Jesse, father of David. In 2 Timothy, in our passage today, he says to us, remember Jesus Christ, the son of David. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who Paul proclaims in that gospel every time that he speaks to every single one. He is the only one who can truly, through every devastation, through every joy, through every aspect of this life, be our Redeemer and be the restorer of our life and nourisher of our old age. Nourisher of our old age, of our youth, of every aspect. And that is why we keep coming back here. We keep lifting our voice up with the choir and with all the church throughout the world and all the church in heaven saying, blessed be the Lord. He has not left you or me this day without a Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ.